Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the title of this thing. Don't title again.
Anda de lo le di el
du mare. Is it rolling, Bob?
I don't know if that sounds as good as it used to, but it is a sign that, come on, what does that mean? That means we're sitting in Sal, making a recording. This would be Dixon Jane's podcast, or what was it? I just had it, number 765, 765, here we go. Well, climbing up there, will we make 1,000? I think so. Will we stop there? I don't know. Anyway, I'm in Bluffers Park. I don't want to get too silly here. I'm just feeling good. Dr. Doug Slater diagnosed me, and I think he said something about I had a combination maybe of anxiety and depression. And right away, I thought, I don't have anxiety, not me. And then realized, ooh, gosh, I bet you I have just a tad of anxiety. I don't think of it. I don't like to think of it as anxiety. But I'm heading to Niagara on the Lake this weekend. John Meadows organized a gathering. He's rented a house. A whole lot of people will be staying there. I'm scheduled to drive the lovely Lisa down on the Friday afternoon and come back Sunday. I just found out there's a very interesting guest speaker at my church Sunday. I'm thinking, ooh. Well, I get up at 7 and drive back to Scarborough early from Niagara-on-the-Lake so that I can attend church. I don't know. I might. But anyway, since I sort of committed myself to this, or got committed to this, first of all, when John brought up, oh, of course, that's a great idea, John, and John's a friend. I want to support John. But ever since then, and ever since somebody backed out, Lisa took his place, Lisa needs a ride, I more or less have no choice. Suddenly I started getting cold feet. Like, well, you know, what if it's snowing? Like we had that big snowstorm and all kinds of things came up. And I was texting John, the poor guy. Like there was no need for me to do that. But that was clearly anxiety. When we were in the bar last Saturday, I tried to explain. I said, there's two things about me. One, I can't stand being told what to do. I just hate being told what to do, and have all my life. And what was the other? Maybe it's always needing a way out, not wanting to be trapped. I don't know if that was it. I should know. I mean, hey, I was the guy who was preaching this. Mind you, I was high, very high. But it seems that as soon as I was committed to this, I wanted to it's not that I didn't want to go or not that I didn't believe, but I had anxieties about, well, what about the drive? What about, I haven't driven the, and when I find I haven't driven the road trek for a while, I'm always a little, well, I'm going to use the word again, anxious about it. Like, oh God, you know, that's the thing. It's a big vehicle and so on. As soon as I get in and back out of the driver, I'm fine. I love driving this thing. But when I'm not doing it, so that's clearly, you know, somewhere my mind just goes places. And I was really struggling. I'm past that now. It's coming up. It's now Thursday. No, it's Wednesday today, November 20th. But that, God, could that be Tuesday? I don't know. I'm completely away. I think it's Wednesday. But I've sort of created these issues for myself, and I've been having to sort of tell John, well, what about, well, maybe can you drive her back for Sunday, and you know, just in case, you know, I only want to last one night, whatever. It's not been pleasant. Then I have to go and apologize, John, sorry about, you know, dumping all this on you. So that really clearly indicates, yeah, I think Dr. Slater's diagnosis was right. I do have a fair amount of anxiety, and I guess a lot of insecurity, and I think that when I tried to talk about my baseball glove, on my YouTube channel. Yes, if you're hearing this for the first time, the Scarborough Dude has his own YouTube channel where I take objects in the basement bar and talk about them. And when I was doing my baseball glove, did I say baseball glove? Baseball?
Whatever. Jesus Christ, man. Shut up.
When I'm in the basement talking about the glove and how much I missed by not being engaged in sports and how that really does help the development of a young man, maybe young woman too, don't know much about those things, I'd just be so hung up about growing breasts. I'd be, oh my God, how do you deal with that? But I guess guys, you know, check out the size of their penis. Is it big enough? You know, who knows? Jesus, hey, where the hell are we going with this thing? Yeah. Shane actually likes it when I do that. Shane, a bastard. Shane, he doesn't listen to this podcast. I'm waiting for an invite. I go to Windsor at least twice a year. But because I'm staying at his place and he's very busy, I sort of like, hey, I want a clear invite, the dates. And he hasn't invited me yet, and it's getting on. Hey, November's done pretty well. December gets really busy, but I've done it in December before, and I've gone by bus. I love it, but I'm not going to invite myself down. It's sort of like the game I play with, Closet Geek. You know, I'm not going to tell you it's time to do Show Tunes, no, what is it? Show Tunes, what's the one we do? Gappage Podcast. It's up to you to do that. And that may be, maybe that's representative of insecurities too. But, God, I'm not enjoying this. How did I get in such a fucking knot? I was feeling so good. Okay, here, let's press the reset button. There. Okay, starting over. I realized if I'm going to spend a weekend in Niagara-on-the-Lake and it's cold and I'm sleeping in the van, not in the house like everybody else is, I'm going to need a full tank of propane to run the heater just in case, you know, it gets real cold during the night, which it will. And when I'm checking, man, it was low, it was just showing just 1 bar out of 5, you know, and then maybe it'd go up to 2. So, the job today was back this sucker out of the driveway, drive to the one place I know close by, Lawrence and Kingston Road, where I can get propane. I really like this place. Little gas station, you know, no-name brand gas station. And they'll fill it up. So I backed up to the big tank and said, oh, no, that's for the propane tanks you bring in. We got another one for vehicles. So I'm hoping it's the right. The guy was able to fasten the hose properly. I assume they know what they're doing, but I've never been filled at a pump before. But anyway, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be at least $25 because it's showing almost empty and I've paid that in other places. And he said 13. I was sure he said 30 and I was okay with the 30. No, it was $13. Can't believe it. And sure enough, checked the tank as soon as he filled it, checked the little buttons, and bam, showing full propane. So I'm happy about that. And the drive was fun. I just was happy to get back at it. I always know when I crank in and turn up the music, it means I'm comfortable. If I'm a little nervous, I want silence, you know. I want to just be aware of all my senses around me. So anyway, then drove up Bellamy Road to my Esso gas station and filled the tank for almost $90, but now I got a full tank of gas. And it just felt good. And I thought, well, buddy, keep on going. Head down to Bluffers Park and start a podcast. And I did, and I'm much happier now that we've reset. And that's all I wanted to share. Yeah, hey. And in fact, I was told, I was under orders by Alien CG, start this one off happy, will you? Because the last one started off, I was in a kind of a miserable place. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very confident. I'm actually looking forward to the drive. Lisa's never met Sal before. That's wonderful. And she herself is thinking about one day getting a vehicle or a trailer, you know. So that's good. And she's a close friend. And I'm happy about all of that. So it's going to be a good time in Niagara-on-the-Lake this weekend. Looking forward to that. And I really didn't want to start this podcast until I got there, but this is the warm-up. We're getting ready. And what I had to do was get Sal all ready for the trip, and we're good to go. So I think I'm going to stop there. I think I'm going to actually keep this short, 10 minutes, maybe give you a song anyway, and head on back home, see what my son needs, if anything, and talk to you again real soon. Probably not from Scarborough. All right, Scarborough Dude, signing off. Just about midnight on the Friday night. I'm lying down in the sleeping bag in Sal. It's fucking cold. And I'm not plugged in, so I can't really... and I wouldn't fire up
the heater anyway. I mean, I could. It's a heater, yeah. Of course, it runs on propane. I could put on the fucking heater, man. Yeah, all right, sorry about that. Yeah, you could tell, probably. I had a toke. Boy, I didn't think it would. This stuff I bought in Ajax, legitimately, you know, a proper selling place, it's gets me quite high, nicely. Like, I roll very, very thin joint. I'll have maybe 3 or 4 pulls off one. You know, that's like maybe a third of a joint, if that. And, boy, go back into Abigail House. We were the last 3. They may still be there talking local politics. That's when I left. Joanne and Trevor. Trevor turned out to be a very, very interesting guy. Enjoyed hearing his life story. Father was a stage manager, director, started Vancouver Playhouse Theater. And was a student of, who is that most famous of British actors? Not Noel Coward, but the other one. Anyway, interesting stories, good time. This is John Meadows, special. I don't know if there was a name to it, Creative Camp or something. I mean, I know that was a word that Mark Blevins was going to use, but John rented this house just off the main strip right here at Niagara on the Lake, like a perfect house. It's huge, it's beautiful, it's old, got some history to it, very clean. And very professionally rented out, you know, with the code. I parked. There was a coach house attached to this house. So the 3 vehicles are here. But anyway, poor John was stuck in traffic. He had his wife driving, John passenger, and then Joanne and Connie came. And they were just a long time getting out of the city, so they didn't arrive till dark. So it gave the lovely Lisa, Trevor, and myself time to get to know each other a little bit. And anyway, God, I'm making it sound awfully boring. The secret John revealed was we're all introverts. And I thought, ooh, I started laughing. I didn't know I was one. And but I guess there's tendencies for that in me, you know, combined with anxiety, probably, which I'm only now owning up to. Thanks, Doug. But you're right. Correct diagnosis. Anyway, having the little toke really did turn things around for the last hour. Anyway, it just does. It just works for me, you know. And probably a little 4 cans of beer prior to that. And it's after that point, it's after the 4th can. You know, man, I'd really like to have a toke. I'd just like to get a little bit high. And so I just stepped out, didn't announce it, but as soon as I came back in, Trevor said, it smells like the teacher's art room. And the conversation went on from there. And, you know, sometimes I guess I like to hear myself talk. And so I gave a few, you know, pretty good rants, but they were of the moment. They were very real, very sincere. You know, no, Ken, you're not going to beat up on yourself. You're not going to condemn yourself, you know. You're engaged and you weren't dominating or taking over. Everybody had a chance to talk. So I'm just happened to be, I was more interested in what I had to say than anybody else, but no, I'm joking. That's not true. It's already good, and this is just the Friday night. Tomorrow, everybody's doing something different. The photographers will go for their walk, and I'm kind of happy. Elisa's going for a massage and, you know, spa treatment. I'm kind of happy I'm just going to be on my own. I'll walk around, because I realized that was the one thing when we talked about, joking about, they're all introverts. It's the reality of that means everybody needs time alone. You know, you got to, okay, I've put out a certain amount now, I just want. And so already I'm looking forward to the little bit of time alone tomorrow. I'm going to make my coffee in here and so on. Anyway, I'm probably not going to fire up the heater. What I'll do is I'll fire it up in the morning. That's when you want it, when you get up out of bed. Okay, put on that heater. So, no, I've warmed up. I'm cozy. It's good. So, anyway, listen. Hats off to John for organizing this thing. And he said it was the first one, meaning there will be more. And so I'm, you know, it's one more of these things that people do and, you know, gather at and share. And the message, the essence of it all is, like we all agreed a long time ago, find the others. Find the others. And so you, and there are many other circles and groups that you can blend with, mix with, talk with, share with, care with, and reveal yourself with, and have them reveal themselves. I mean, that's what it's really all about. Be who you are. Trust the stranger. They're no longer strangers. And that's what we concluded as I left tonight. Think, hey, okay, so Trevor, you didn't know Joanne, and I didn't know either of you guys. And so we are the last three staying up, who got to know each other a little better through that time. And isn't that nice? All right, folks. God, sorry. This is, you know, hey. What? You want news? You know, somebody threw up and somebody punched somebody else. Something bad happened. We did talk about that. We had good talks. We talked about the bubble we live in, how safe this is, how lucky we are, how fortunate we are, how unusual this is to live in this bubble. And this is a theme I go on about all the time. This security of this bubble that is not the norm. And we are blessed, and we have the moral obligation to make the best of it and perhaps do more, be kind and caring and do something positive, but to also celebrate the fact that you're living. If you're living and you're not being bombed on or dragged off to jail, be grateful and celebrate. Yeah. Is that where we're going? Yeah, we're talking about those kind of things and the fragility of life. And talked about, so there were a lot of wide-ranging conversations. It was nice early in the evening when Connie was there and John's wife, who for no reason at all, Janice, and he was running away from me. And Lisa also sitting there and... the conversations around the room. It was very nice. It was very nice. And we get to meet a new person tomorrow, too, or new only to myself, maybe, and one or two others. Bill, another photographer. So, folks, that wasn't much of a rundown. You know, in fact, it was awfully flat. But what more could I say? It's just, it's pleasant. I'm happy to be here. I'm glad I'm here. Drive was nice. It's just all good. It's all good, and we'll get better. And I think I am going to leave early, very early Sunday morning, and head off to church because there's a guest speaker who could be dying, somebody who has a lot to share, and I think I would miss something if I didn't hear him. So that's one more bonus to the weekend. All right. Scarborough Dude, signing off. Sorry.
sensation. You got a hold of something. You tell us that it's news. You don't have to show that stuff. Can't you show us some respect? You can tell us we don't need to see. We don't need those cheap effects. You must be evil. You must be evil. I wish you were here. You must be evil. You must be evil.
Check. Ooh, can I reach? There we go. Nope. I got a twist. Oh, forget it. Got a twist behind me to do that. I'm sitting in the front seat of the road track. The Lisa's seat turned facing the back. There's nobody in here, of course, but me. That's why I am eating an entire bag of limited edition smart food indulgence. And it reads dark chocolate and raspberry drizzle flavor. And they are very, very good. I've just put it on, what's that thing we do, Discord. And people ask me, so I'm in the middle, in my real time, of chatting on Discord, recording a podcast, and eating these delicious popcorn pieces. Ooh, so good. So anyway, I'm still here, parked outside the... Sorry, Candace. Well, you don't listen anyway, it doesn't matter. Parked outside the home they rented, there were two places planned for meals, and both are booked solid. Like, the town, even though it's winter, it's full of tourists. The bars, I mean, they're neat bars. I really wanted to go. I could probably sneak in on my own, but certainly we would never get a group of eight in. The Old Angel House, I think, was one. And I think so. And then there's an Irish Harp very close by. Sorry, okay, I'll try and stop while I'm eating. Just those last two. Mm, still good. I was thinking, I had a gummy bear who... A couple of hours ago, I took, you know, maybe two-thirds of one of the 25%ers. And then I didn't feel anything at all, so I ate the rest of it at least an hour and a half later. And maybe it's only now just starting to kick in very mildly, which is kind of the way you want it. But it just seems to take a long time to get through my system. It's not a suddenly, I mean, I've had cookies and things before where suddenly you're, oh my God, half an hour later and you're really zoom right up there. This is not like that. It's just a slow, steady rise, I think. Can't analyze it, but the fact that I'm talking to you now and feeling pretty good and eating more of these chocolate strawberry drizzle popcorn pieces. All right, that's wrong. Sorry. I'll keep this short so I can eat some more. It was cloudy earlier when the folks went out for their photo shoot, but then the sun came out and it was quite beautiful. I was down on the lake. I took a little walk myself, hobbled along, and a nice view of Fort Niagara right on Lake Ontario. Took a couple of pictures, walked back, and saw a lot of places I'd not seen before. When I'm here with my girls, I just lead them into town and turn them loose on the main street just to do their shopping and let them know where the washroom is. And I sit in a little park area. And today, I was telling that to John as I was looking down at the park here. I was in a pub, the Exchange Brewery. Very good beer on tap. I joined them at lunchtime. They go out in a photo shoot, and very soon they're in a bar drinking one pint, 2 pints, ordering lunch. So that's the kind of photo shoots they do. Anyway, I went in there, and I could look down at the spot where I will sit. So it was kind of neat, the perspective of I'm only here with my students. I really don't see this city at all or this town. But today, on this particular, the John's Creative Retreat, I think he's called. I think that's the official name, Creative Retreat. And this is the first. John plans to do this every year. He's already talking about that. So I think it's a neat idea. And as long as I can bring my road trek. Oh, sorry. And not have to pay for a hotel. I'm good. Anyway, the two places we wanted to go tonight, they're booked solid. But they found another restaurant. It's the kind of place where you get a lunch menu and a dinner menu. Pretty much the same, except the dinner menu is, you know, $5 more per item. And I guess that's just marketing, you know. Hey, that's the way it is. You come for supper, come for lunch, and you want a cheap lunch. Come for supper, you pay a little more. It's the same food. Maybe. They might argue bigger portions. I don't know. But I've already picked out. I think I'll go for the lamb burger. I don't like this kind of thing. I feel bad every time I go out to eat and spend money on it. Guilt, sort of, that my wife is not here to enjoy it herself. I'm spending our money. But that's just the way it is for now. So, I mean, that's why I've got beer here. In fact, I think I'll open one pretty soon. And just made myself my own peanut butter and jam sandwich. So I brought stuff. I could be fairly independent. I could even pass on going out. 3:30 for the group portrait. Okay. So that's a text just in. Because we insisted all 8 of us be in the same picture. And these guys, I mean, they're real. We're talking camera nerds here. These guys going out with a lot of cameras. And I tried to get a picture of them walking down the street, but they weren't too receptive to that. But I'll find something maybe to go with this podcast. Although I'd really rather, and right now I'm looking at the image of the popcorn bag on my bright blue sleeping bag. It looks really sharp. That would be a nice image. But, there's John merrily strolling down the street. That would be your friend and mine, John. Let's see. Now, well, there's a shot with 3 of them, but I mean, it's not a good shot, but I just think you should have these people in the picture. Now, there's John taking one of me. That's sort of a pole shot. Yeah, we'll do that one probably. Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. Sorry. I sometimes lose track. Yeah, I guess I am a little high. Otherwise, I'd be paying more attention to you, the listener who I'm talking to right now. I like the sign outside the Irish pub. That's another thing I could put up there for a picture for this episode. Yeah, that's not bad. It says the Irish Harp Pub, husband daycare. Ladies need time alone. Oh, ladies need time alone? Need time alone for shopping? Then drop him off here. We'll take care of him. All you pay is food and drink. All you pay is food and drink. So there's that. All right, anyway, it's cute. Yeah, whatever. So there's John. If I crop that one. Okay, my editors. Yeah, I'll crop that one. Maybe that might be the phone too. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, boys, girls, Scarborough Dude here. I'm trying to catch for you because, listen, I'm going to give a shout out maybe again to Doug Slater because Doug is a faithful listener. And Doug, I'll ask a question and Doug will come up with an answer. He's very kind to me and I'm very grateful. You know, so. Doug, if you're out there listening right now, hi! Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, okay, all right. I lie when I say this stuff's not very strong. It's strong enough. Where were we? We were following a thread. We were thanking Doug for being a nice guy. Well, Doug's going to be on the air tonight. Yeah, I could also join in a conversation. I could actually go to the Imperial Pub tonight while these folks go out to eat. Yeah, and meet the virtual Imperial Pub. Meet Doug. Oh, sorry. Back to the popcorn. See, you can't stop it. It's just the right amount. I mean, you want the texture of the popcorn. There's just the right amount of just a little bit of chocolate. Enough chocolate on each and every piece. And that little flavor of the strawberry drizzle. What am I thinking about? Mmm. Each bite, each piece tastes really good. And I don't feel bad about not sharing it. Well, I mean, it would go. I mean, you got seven people in there. It would go in a flash, whereas I... Now, you see, you know, that, maybe that's where I'm not so nice. No, fuck them. Anyway, no, that's not, I don't think that's the spirit of this creative gathering. Fuck them. But, hey, I've created my own space. I'm in my own... I'm in the front seat. Thank you. Thank you. Of the... of Sal. I've got sunlight coming in because I'm facing the right direction. I got my feet up. I've got a pair of slizzards. I got a pair of slizzards on my feet. Yeah. Having a grand old time. Made myself a peanut butter and jam sandwich. I boiled a brisket, a beef brisket or something like that, a brisket of some kind, before I came on Friday, thinking it'd be handy. And then Lisa was handy. We didn't stop for food. She was hungry. And it was very nice for me. I bought a dozen buns, hamburger buns, to come back to the road trek and make her a nice sandwich. And myself, too. And I brought along some nice creamy mustard and a bag of really nice chips. So I gave her the plate that my son, I think we have the plate that's right here, the big yellow plate that my son used when he was a kid in camp and then discovered again on the drive back from Vancouver this fall, his plate. So I was able to present that to Lisa with a nice little sandwich on it and some chips. And I just said, but make damn sure I get that plate back. That's part of the official Sal camping gear. And so here we are. I picked up Go, the book by John Clelon Holmes, published in 52 before Kerouac was published. And it's about him, the writer, John Clelon Holmes, and Kerouac and Ginsberg, and Burroughs will come into it later, and Herbert Hunk and the other characters, all the same characters you read about in On the Road and Kerouac's books are in here. I mean, they were pals, they were friends, but Holmes was a different character. So he wrote this book called Go, which was, you know, like, I think he wrote another one called Horn, I don't know. But this was the one that got all the attention, and it was the one that was supposed to capture what the beats were about. So I feel I have a duty to read. I bought it years ago and never got through it. So I felt I had a duty to try and pick it up again. It's yeah, we'll see. We'll give it time. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point of coming to the creative camp is relax, you know? Do what you want to do. So good for John. I think I tried to say that last night, but it was a little flat. But for if good for anybody. Good for Anthony, who started the thing in Hamilton. Marshall McLuhan Podcast Roundtable. Good for... for anybody who steps up and tries to organize something and, you know, make something happen, bring people together. And, hey, I think back, give myself a little credit. I think I played an instrumental role in having the live podcaster nights at the Imperial Pub way back then. Just kind of rediscovered that when I reestablished contact with Keith McNally. So, well, we've gone on for 12 minutes. Do you get a bit of the flavor of the weekend? Like, Lisa went and had a massage and spa treatment this morning. Everybody went off. They do what they want to do, right? That's the idea. But feeling maybe you're away from your work or stress or whatever, and you're here to you know, enjoy the freedom and do what it is you like to do. And that for some involves reading, napping. For me, getting a little bit buzzed and talking to you, my friends, on the podcast, tweeting, hanging out in Discord, doing all kinds of stuff and just trying to celebrate the fact of being alive. I did enjoy, whether it came across or not last night, sitting up and talking with Joanne and Trevor. That was enjoyable. I let loose after I got buzzed in and, you know, about the frailty of all humans. My usual speech, why I went to group therapy. I went to discover that all humans have weaknesses and are afraid and put up shells and barriers and are frail and easily hurt and broken and just try to get through life, you know. That's the human condition. And I often insist on starting off conversation with somebody that becomes part of it. And secondly, the follow-up is there is nothing normal about being a sentient human being. There is nothing normal about this at all. Not a thing. This hasn't happened before. You know, yes, other life forms are from. Yes, other intelligent life on other planets. Yeah, we know all that shit. I'm talking about us right here, right now. Humans on this planet. Fucking dinosaurs, bye-bye. Here we are. Where the fuck are we going? Are our minds going to meld? That's what I was thinking about last night. Will we be able to? And I brought this question up in our discussion. Communicate without not having to do words. Now, a podcast wouldn't be very well for the podcast business. Pretty well shut down the podcast business if you didn't need to listen to somebody. You know, you could just look at them and they'd read your mind and you'd be sending messages that way through your eyes in some kind of extra sense, you know. I think that's going to happen, you know. It might take some kind of divine intervention. I don't know. But anyways, there'll be other levels of communication that, you know, we're still at the primitive thing. But what will it take to do that? And will people who are already grouping themselves, like Chinese and Japanese and other races and religions and groups, what's to come of all this? Will one group want to dominate the others? Is there a need? The self-preservation goes beyond the individual, it's the group. And, you know, you have a duty, if you're in this group, for your group to survive, to carry on, to prosper, to procreate, and to continue to be living. The individual, all right, I'm going to stop this. I mean, if I could hear you, and if I ask the question, should I bring in the lap? No. Because it will be a treat for Lisa on the way home. There'll be some left over for the drive tomorrow. I'm probably going to drive her early so I can get to church. And this would be a treat. So there, my guilt is gone. 3:30 photo shoot. I think I'll just sit here a little bit longer. And hope you enjoyed this little popcorn interlude. This was like the intermission, basically. So, anyway, thank you. Carry on the good work. Anybody else out there thinks it's a good idea to organize some gathering? Mark Blevis, for example, talked about a creative camp. It's hard to organize when you're trying to think about time schedules. And, you know, Mark has other things on his mind. So, Mark, there's no pressure on you. No pressure on you. This is, you know, I wouldn't want you to feel that, you know, in all sincerity, you know. If something happens, great. If you decide to do something, great. But, I mean, the other thing is, hey, there's already things happening. Come and join us in Hamilton sometime in July. All right. Scarborough Dude. shutting up, signing off, thank you. And I hope, again, as I said, that captures a little more of the flavor. It gives you my flavor anyway. Maybe it doesn't tell you anything about anybody else in there, but hey, I was told last night, self-confession time, hey, they're all introverts. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah. Great fun. I don't know if any of them listening to this would think I'm giving much of an accurate presentation of what this weekend has been about. But hey, this is what my weekend is being about. And what else can I do on a personal podcast? Yeah, exactly. You get what you get. Scabber Dude! Signing out. No popcorn for you. It was a waste of 20 seconds, but anyway, listen, I've only given myself 14 minutes, so I gotta get started. It is Monday morning, and I am sitting in Sal. It's cold, I got my winter coat on, but I've got the passenger seat facing the back, my feet up in slippers on the second row chair, and it's a perfect place to be. I was going to get in my car and drive off to Bluffers Park, as I usually do, and thought, hey man! You don't need to, and this has been kind of a Sal weekend anyway, since driving to Niagara-on-the-Lake. That is behind us, and something very important, I feel, I have to share with you. I made reference to saying, there's an interesting guest speaker. I really should get back to Scarborough in time Sunday morning, and of course I did. I don't know exactly what it was, except that, you know, the blurb was, you know, here's a person who's dying and he's got things to say. And I guess the title caught my eye. It was called Dying Out Loud. And the speaker was somebody called Dave Warnock. Now, just before leaving church, I walked up to Dave, held his hand, said, I can't hug you. And that's because my balance is off and I'm in danger of falling over and, it would be embarrassing. But I stared into his eyes. I can't remember the last time I looked into a person's face that well. I realize I do avert eye contact way too often. It's something I got to get past. Here's a problem. Maybe that's the wall. I've been talking about this wall I have that I can't quite see what it is. Maybe that wall has something to do with not being comfortable making eye contact for long enough. But I did with Dave, and as I turned, I said, I'm going to cry. And I had already been crying throughout his talk, but crying in a good way, you know, not crying, oh my God, what a sad story. The man's got Lou Gehrig's disease. He's dying. No, it was, oh my God, crying for joy because this fucker understands what a death sentence means and he's going to get out there and live. And that's what it was all about, dying out loud, you know, like living out loud is really the essence of what his message was. Hey, you got one life to live. Now, the interesting thing about Dave, I think, is that he was a former evangelical minister. In fact, his entire life, he owns up to have never done the fun things because he was a good Christian in his basically from his youth and lived in that church. And then I'm not sure of the timing, but you'll check his website. I think if you Google Dying Out Loud, you'll find everything you need to know. And the name Dave Warnock, W-A-R-N-O-C-K, which I've certainly checked out. I'm not sure the timing of when he left, you know, lost his faith, and then struggled with it, went through depression. And then, of course, with people like Greta Vosper, he connected with her long ago, our atheist minister in the United Church. And she was the connection who brought him here to talk. His first time, I mean, he's based in the States, I think from Tennessee. Oh, my God. Excuse me. So he came, and I knew enough that I've got to catch this. And I am just so glad, because it was an excellent talk of a pretty gutsy guy who would be able to overthrow the shackles of his religion at the cost of losing his wife, two of his three daughters, I think, and grandchildren and other family members, and, of course, a lot of friends who just, bam. It's like, I guess, if you start drinking, you've joined AA and you start drinking again. People don't want to see you. And when you lose your Christian faith and belief in the Almighty God and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, oh, boy. Big trouble is going to happen to you, buddy. And some people were ignorant and cruel enough to probably come back at him after he was diagnosed with ALS to think that, okay, this is the Lord's vengeance. I might be speculating here, but that may have come up. But certainly some people would be thinking that, you know. And, hey, buddy, now that you've got this death sentence, you better come back to the faith and beg for forgiveness. And, of course, he's not doing anything of the sort. One of the stories he told was when he arrived in Toronto, they went out that evening, I guess, for dinner. And when the waitress heard that he was dying, said, oh, man, we got to do shots. So and I'm like, oh, good. This is a long way away from, a strict evangelical minister. So anyway, there's a picture of him in the bar with the waitress and each of them knocking down a shot of whatever it was. In celebration of life, basically, living. There was a great Q&A at the end, and I piped up. I absolutely had to introduce myself as the only, probably the only pothead in the church. And right away, Greta chimed in and said, oh, hang on, where's so-and-so? So she was going to call out somebody else. But anyway, that was a joke. But I did ask about what he felt about the use of LSD and psychedelics, the research that's being done now, and Timothy Leary carried out, and others, for people who are facing death. As I've mentioned on this show many times, that I would want, if I knew this was coming, hey, I want something to get me up over that edge, to get the broader view, whatever, to see the other side. His answer was interesting. It was the first, yeah, bring it on, bring it on. And then he said, I've never realized how many friends I had who were offering me shrooms and so on. So it was so upbeat. It was like a man who, through losing his faith, had regained his life. It really was. It was that's the essence. And I think that's what made it so wonderful. It wasn't just about, oh, this guy's coping with a death sentence. But he's coping with the fact that I got one life to live. I better make the most of it. So he is going around visiting places, getting all the things off his own bucket list, which mainly involves travel, to talk about this, to do presentations like he did here in Scarborough. A wonderful byproduct. I noticed when I arrived at church, that there was a woman outside, with a camera taking pictures, and we got into a conversation right away. I said, hey, I've just come back from a camera nerd hangout in Niagara on the Lake. So I didn't know who she was or the connection, but I just saw her throughout the service going everywhere, taking pictures. And, well, gee, wow, hey, she's up front. The service is going on. She seems to look like she owns the place. But, of course, that was his manager who I've connected with and just listened to her podcast, which is called Everyone's Autonomous. And it's also a result of people who are leaving the church and struggling with, okay, how do I reclaim my life, and how do I deal with the depression? How do I deal with the trauma? So I just listened to a podcast she did with a counselor, a doctor who, or somebody with a doctorate, who does sessions and therapy for people struggling with the vacuum maybe that gets left, or the loss that they feel when they give up their deeply held beliefs. So very, very interesting, and I believe she is one herself. This is Marie Delafont, I believe is the correct pronunciation, I hope, close enough. But anyway, we are already connected on Twitter and Facebook, and she promised she will listen to a Dixon Jane's podcast. I said, well, hang on. Not everybody's cup of tea. I have to give everybody a warning. But anyway, back to this session. What was it that made me tear up when I stared into his face? There was a connection felt, and I'm not sure exactly what it was about, other than me wanting to convey, I understand, I'm with you on this. I mean, I did say that directly in words. Hey, what you're doing is a wonderful thing. If there was a Christ, he would want you to be out there saying this, not, you know, prepare for the afterlife and all this, but live this life. The message was just a reminder for those who need it. Live the life you've got. Hey, it is one. There isn't another afterlife. This is, you know, sorry, folks, but that's a fallacy. That's a dream. That ain't real. There's nothing to prepare for. So there are a number of other questions that came up are normal. Well, I won't get into other people's questions. This show's about me anyway, isn't it? It was a long-held handshake with eye-to-eye, face-to-face contact. I looked in and I loved his face, and I wanted to be with him. They were going out that night, and I kind of wanted to. But there's the reserve part of me, the part of me that always holds back, thinks, oh, there's probably more important people. This is my thing. This is my hang-up. This is the lack of confidence. There's probably more important people that he should be talking to than me. But God damn it, I fucking well know that if I had been sitting beside Dave in a bar that night or wherever they'd gone out, he would really fucking enjoy my company. God, there, no holding back on this one. He would have been delighted to have me there because he would still feel, and I would still feel, that connection, that bond. I really felt like, wow, in that short time of being in his presence, a deeply lifelong friendship. And I guess to me what's so interesting is when he talked about, because of the life he had led as an evangelical Christian preacher, he didn't do any of the fun stuff, you know? And he's I think he's sort of ready to make up for it. I think that was quite wonderful. And I feel it made me reflect back on my life and how lucky I am to have not had that trap, to have not been caught up, to have rejected, you know, hey, I'm just not going to church anymore. I don't like it. I just knew enough to hate my minute. Hate is a strong word, but I despised him. Reverend fucking Midledge from St. Mark's, whatever, one of the churches my family went to, in Lachine, where my brother got married, I guess. You know, whatever. I just did not like this man. There was nothing spiritual, nothing loving, nothing Christ-like, nothing wonderful about him. He was just a fucking businessman. Anyway, that's not important. But I'm grateful not to. And then I'm grateful for the second thing that I grew up at the time of hash being readily available in Montreal. It was a thing to do. Hey, you're young, you're in the 60s, you listen to Pink Floyd and you get high. And that, believe me, folks, that may just sound like, oh, I don't do drugs. That's fine, that's cool, okay. But I'm telling you, it had a profound effect on me, and not in a good way. In a good way, it opened up so much more of a broader view of the whole world and the importance of just experiencing life. So I had that head start from the time I was, I don't know, 20, 19. And I'm grateful for that, so very grateful. All right, we've run out of time. I encourage you to check this out. There's an absolutely wonderful, it's a t-shirt I should order. I didn't want the baseball tee, but this one, it's his head that a British artist, a picture of his head with a cigar, and the head is exploding. Somebody made that picture, and it's actually quite wonderful. And of course, you could equate that. Yeah, hey, this guy's dying. The head's falling apart. But look it up. Dave Warnick, Dying Out Loud. I'm just very grateful. There was only one other time somebody made me cry to that degree as I looked into the person's face, and that was when we had an Aboriginal person, I don't know what else to say, come into our church and talk about the tragedy, the horror of the 60s scoop when the children were taken away from their families and the loss, the profound loss of culture and love and caring. And as I talked with him, I just was just in tears, and I did the same thing, held onto his hand. So Dave, you'll never hear this, but I think maybe Marie might, and she'll relate this information that you had the equally profound touch, resonance, connection of a Native Canadian who knew the horror of what the white people have done to the people who were here before us. Before us, yes. All right. Okay, signing off there. Strange ending, but listen, I'm grateful. Maybe I'll come back and revisit this when I've had further time to reflect, and I'm trapped in a 14-minute box of time. But this would be the Scarborough Dude wanting to get a podcast out today. So tune in next week, will you? And come back for more. Ask questions. Connect with me on... just find Scarborough Dude. And go visit my videos, too. I've got some of those. So, bye for now. Hang on.